We are just weeks away from the start of the 2025-26 school year. But did you know that there is actually one Connecticut town still in session over the summertime? Apparently in New London, the district set out to challenge the long existing traditional 180-day school year model actually a few years ago and expanded its typical calendar to offer classroom instruction all year long, replacing a long summer vacation with a shorter, more frequent break type of a schedule. I want to know what some of our education officials in the state think about this. Joining us now is Jocelyn DeLancey, back on the show, Vice President of the Connecticut Education Association, the largest teachers union in the state. Jocelyn, what do you think about that? School all throughout the year.
Oh, it's funny. I actually, I won't say how long ago it was, but I actually did my student teaching in a year-round school many, many years ago. So I've had experience with it. It's an interesting model, and there are definitely some benefits to it, but I have questions and thoughts about its success and how it works, particularly in the district that it's being housed in.
What questions do you have? I'd love to kind of pick your brain on this.
So I think, you know, there's an idea that when we take the breaks for the summer, we have this learning loss, and there's a lot of time out of school that students could be learning academics and being present. But I think that there's a lot of learning opportunity that kids do get over the summer in different opportunities with that long break, learning through play, learning through work experiences that are outside of the typical school setting, that break really does work for some people. So I wonder, when we look at this year-round model, the opportunity for choice, which I think is important if you're transitioning to something like this, how many people really do choose this model and how many people don't? The other issue that I have is the funding that goes into it, because I think, especially in New London, where they have these really small class sizes and these enrichment opportunities, which I think, by the way, is phenomenal in any school model, but they flat funded their budget last year. So I have a concern about the level of investment in a program so new as this, if you're going to take the rest of your budget and flat fund it and not invest in any other learning opportunities, which I think could be problematic.
So I have a couple of things that I was thinking about with this, because obviously immediately when I heard that there was one district doing this, I didn't even know this was allowed, Jocelyn. I have to be honest. I don't know all the rules on the books, but I didn't even know you could have a district that just has instruction throughout the entire year, even though the other 168 municipalities don't offer this. I didn't even know you could do that.
So you can. I mean, there's things that you have to consider. There's union contracts, there's salary. You know, we get paid. We're salaried employees, so we get paid for the number of days that we work. So if you extend those days, then those people who work more days would, in fact, have to get paid more than if you worked the typical 187. So, you know, you'd have to make sure that everybody's on board for that, that you have staff that can commit to that. You know, in terms of if they have children in school, what does that look like in a different district? What does that daycare look like for those teachers who are, you know, working the full year round when their when they have off and their students are in school? Or what does that look like? And so that's a complication as well. Busing, all sorts of different things and schedules that might be complicated, but it is allowed. You just have to have the approvals of the board, the parents, the unions, and so forth. It's just not common.
So I'm curious again, Jocelyn DeLancey is here, the vice president of the Connecticut Education Association, largest teachers union in the state. A lot of teachers, and maybe you have better facts than I do, but a lot of teachers do summer school because they can't actually afford to take summers off. More and more teachers, it sounds like, are still either picking up second jobs or they're doing summer school so that they don't go 2 months without a paycheck. So I don't know if the teachers would not love this idea. Part of me feels like there are certainly, I mean, I look to, you know, Asia being the continent I'm going to compare us to. But certainly we look at a lot of other countries that do year-long instruction and it's great for the kids. So I don't know, you know, how to really feel about this one, to be honest, because part of me feels like I look at my own child who I think would thrive with year-long instruction and having smaller breaks throughout the year. One of the biggest problems as a parent, this is just from a parent's perspective, is that when you want to take breaks with your kids, you want to go on special vacations or you want to have special experiences, if it doesn't fit into the two or three school vacation times per year in that 9-month period, I don't want to say you're reprimanded, but you're certainly being told, you know, hey, you're impeding on their instruction time. You're hurting them, obviously, like academically. And I wonder if having smaller breaks throughout the year, but having them go throughout a calendar year is actually beneficial, not only to the student and maybe the paychecks of the teachers, but also for the families. I don't know.
So I want to touch a couple of things because you brought up a lot of really good points. I think with the summer school, we have to remember that summer school hours are not a full school day. So when our students are going to summer school, it's usually from like 9 to 12 or 9 to 1. It's not necessarily that full jam-packed school day. So it is a little different. And I would say that there are a lot of teachers who can find other jobs outside of summer school that pay better than the summer school experience. And I would also note that I don't think a lot of people know this, but our summer school is not pensionable. So when we work a summer school, we do not get pensionable hours towards our salary. So that would come at a cost. If we were now working all year long, we would then that salary would be pensionable, which would be great for teachers. But it's something that would be an additional cost that people, I don't think, know much about. The other thing that I would say is I think that transition's hard for some kids. So we have, when you come back from, I think about like winter break and getting back into the school year after those, it's not really even full 2 weeks off, although some years it is, but that time off and then coming back and transitioning in, we have a lot of kids who struggle with transitions. And so I think that's just many more transitions that kids have to have when you're going 2 weeks on, you know, or 2 weeks off and then coming back for 6 weeks. So that might be something that some families struggle with in terms of getting back into school.
I mean, that's the thing is I think the transition from summer vacation every year, especially in those younger ages, but I'd even say I don't know for sure because I don't have a middle or a high schooler yet, but I think that is such a challenge unless your kid has a job or is in 8 to 10 weeks of summer camp. I mean, we're in it right now. The idea of even getting into our after school curriculum, that which is what we're trying to get our kid into right now before we then also throw him back into a new school year, is tough. I mean, and we followed all the typical rules, you know, keep the bedtime, you know, still work on some schoolwork, make sure we're reading every night. That transition after summer break is tough, I think. But I also do love the idea of the nostalgia of having summer vacation. You know, like I don't know how to feel about this one. I got to be honest, Jocelyn, I'm struggling to figure out which is the better model. I don't know.
It's really tricky. And maybe not one or the other is a better model, right? Maybe when we're thinking about modernizing public school, we really look at the community, the resources that it has, the amount of money that it's willing to spend. I mean, we keep thinking about all these school districts. We had all these conversations last spring about districts cutting their budgets.
Right.
And doing something new and different costs more money. Mm. And so if a district is not willing to truly invest, and I think about New London because they have this model, it's very costly. And again, they flat funded their budget. And I can't think if you had summer enrichment opportunities for your students throughout the summer that were free and available, might that transition look different if all kids had access to enrichment opportunities and time to play in a structured and unstructured space? You know, that would be great. If all our class sizes were 15 or below and had two teachers in each class, because that's how this program works, they do have two educators in the classroom. Think about the amount of learning that you could do during that time period. So it's hard to know which factors make this district program successful because there are so many additional parts of it aside from just the calendar structure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely complicated. I'll be interested to see what New London finds and then see if other districts decide to follow suit or even just trial this. But I appreciate having at least the conversation about it, Jocelyn, because I found it really fascinating. And I think there's a lot to think about with it. And so I appreciate you weighing in on this here on WICC. And thank you for the fantastic work you do for the Connecticut Education Association.
Thanks so much. Good to talk to you.
You too. Jocelyn DeLancey again, Vice President of the CEA right here on WICC.